Guayma? Is that right?
Guayma. The Guaymas. The Guaymas bar here, bar and restaurant here in Tiburon. With me, Sammy Hagar, playing a bartender coming up in Nash Bridges. He's got his tequila. I got to ask you, can you drive 55? I have to ask you that. Can you drive 55?
I had to do it coming over here this morning, man. All the school kids and stuff out, you know. It's like, you know, I didn't want to... hurt anybody, so I was being real careful driving here.
You never actually seen school kids walking to school.
Exactly, I'm not up here. I was having deja vu. I'm going, man, whoa, look at all these kids, and I forgot what it feels like getting up in the morning. I'm not a morning person.
Okay, well, we'll get you a lunch pail, man, so you fit right in. We'll be back with more Sammy Hagar, and we're going to talk about his tequila right after this. Stay with us. It's 8:38. Welcome back to Mornings on 2. We're here in Guaymas, here in Tiburon. With me, the legendary Sammy Hagar. You always have to be called legendary because you are a legend in the business.
Hey, you know, it's like, call me anything you want. You know, I mean, I'm all right. I've been called probably worse than that, or better than that, excuse me.
How many years have you been in this business? The Montrose album came out
1973. It was a group called Montrose, a Bay Area band here, you know.
Now, I wonder now, with rockers, especially rockers who have played as long as you have, man, does your attitude change about things? You look at Sammy Hagar, you think, oh, man, this wild party guy is, you know, perpetually 24 years old. Does your attitude change?
I think you kind of, rather than change it, I think it's what being in a rock and roll band your whole life does for you. It keeps you with the same attitude your whole life, kind of like, you know. I still feel real relaxed about partying, and I think it's all about that if I had to get up every morning like this, I wouldn't party the night before that. I'd say, man, I'm over that party and stuff if I had to beat myself up every morning. But it's such a great lifestyle that you get to sleep till noon, you know, and you get up whenever you want, basically. And, you know, my whole life doing that, I'm going, hey, you know, why change? This is fun. But I don't hurt myself that much. You know, this tequila thing is for me like a hobby. I've always really liked tequila, and I have a tequila bar in Cabo.
Yeah, and I hear you got this. We showed one of the clips of your bar. It's called the Cabo Wabo.
Cabo Wabo.
Cabo Wabo. And I understand you can't get in there.
It's so packed,
it's so busy, you can't get in there. That's
a good thing.
Are you married? You married? You got
yeah.
your family?
Yeah, I'm married. Yeah.
Okay, now how does that lifestyle work, going down there to Cabo and playing with all these, you know?
I've lived down there for casually, you know, off and on for 17 years. I'm moving down there in 4 days for 3 months. I'm out of here. It's too cold. I almost had to put a jacket on today, you know? So I've been... living down there for a long time, and that's been part of my lifestyle, my family and everything. And I found this tequila, and it's for my bar, you know, because I go over to a town of Tequila, and I look for new tequilas. It's like
Napa.
Which
is interesting. It's like, yeah, well, it's like France.
Exactly.
It's like champagne. It's not champagne unless it comes from that province.
And I find ones that I really like, ones you can't get anywhere else, and I buy barrels of it and put it in my club. Because in my club, you can get tons of different kinds of tequila. So this is my favorite. It's a Reposado. It's called, and I made a Cabo Wabo bottle, and it's my, you know, I own this. It isn't like I'm just putting my name on something.
You actually drink it yourself.
Yes, I do. It's really, really fine tequila. I don't wake up in the morning and start drinking tequila. I want people to get that straight, you know, when they ask me to do this.
He said, no, I couldn't get in and have coffee this morning.
I said, when you wake up in the morning and want to drink, that's your first sign. You got it wrong.
So how often are you playing down there? Are you down there for 3 months? Are you going to be there playing in the club every night, Lon?
Oh, no. I'm down there vacation. You know, I live down there. I lay real low. I just like warm weather. I'm playing for my birthday for October. I'm playing October 9th, 10th, and 13th. October 13th is my birthday, and I do a birthday bash for my fans every year. They come from all over the world. Thousands of people try to get in my club every single night. It's great. It's a big pressure to me because I feel bad. Some people come all the way from Japan or something, and they're waiting in line all day, and the cutoff. You know what I mean?
And they
go, man, I feel really bad, but...
It's been about a year since you had your last album, since you came out with your last
March
album.
Yeah, March into Mars came out a year and a half ago.
And you got another album coming out. We'll talk about that in a second, but I think we got a clip we want to show, one of your videos.
March into Mars called.
This is Little White Line. Let's take a look at this.
You're talking too much.
Okay, now while we're watching that, you say that's about your old buddies, and there they are. There's Eddie and Eddie and the boys simulated there. All right, now tell me. Now, you know I got to ask the question. What? Tell me what the little white lie is. You know, what's the difference between what they said is the way you left the group?
Oh, man, I just really cannot drag everybody back through those coals. You know, it's like it's kind of dead and buried now. But I think the fans, the true fans, you know, they looked into it deep, and they found out what was going on. They basically said that I quit because I didn't want to be a team player. And I didn't want to tour, and I didn't want to do this. And I'm going, whoa, when I heard him saying what happened, and that's not what happened. They chose to make a greatest hits record, and I didn't want to do a greatest hits record. I wanted to do a real record, because greatest hits records are pretty much saying, well, we're finished, you know. And I didn't think we were finished. And so I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't participate in doing a couple new songs for the greatest hits record. So they got David Lee Roth, the old original singer in the band, to come back and do it, because, of course, he'd do anything. And they did it behind my back, and all of a sudden, of course, that came to like a pretty ugly situation, and that's what broke the band up. I didn't quit.
How did you find out? How did you find out they were bringing David Lee Roth in?
Eddie called me up, you know, after 2 weeks of them being in the studio with David Lee Roth, and my wife had just had a baby. You know, I was home with this brand new little baby, and she, you know, came over like 2 weeks old or something, and they had been in the studio with David Lee Roth, and I just said, and he told me about it. He goes, and you know, you might as well go back to being a solo artist. And I said, hey, thank you. You know, I won't tell you what else come down after that, but
no congratulations on the baby. Just now we got David Lee Roth.
That's right, man. And that's what happened. And then when that didn't work, then they start blaming me, and you know, I just refused to sit around being blamed for it. So I just wrote a song about, you know, rather than sit there and go to the press and, well, they said this, well, you said this, I just wrote a song about it. And then I didn't talk about it after that, and you got me talking about it again. But I'm totally happy. You know, some things happen for the best. And that was such a good thing for me because, you know, I'm so excited about my music. I'm so excited about, you know, I've just made a new record. I went and did 110 shows on my own last year, 110 shows in America alone. And off the March of the Mars thing, I was home for 2 weeks. I wrote four songs in those 2 weeks, and I went right back in the studio. I just finished a new album called Red Voodoo. It's coming out in January. I'm totally inspired. You know what I mean?
And well, your last album was great. You had some great people on it. You had Yui on it.
Yeah.
You had Ronnie Montrose on it. We got to mention
Mickey Hart.
We're spread out of time. You're gonna be on Nash Bridges next week, playing a bartender.
Yeah, playing a bartender to promote my tequila. But you know, they tricked me. I got to say something real quick. You know, it's like Cheech and Don are friends of mine for a long time, and asked me to come in and make them a drink, and then at the last minute they said, well, you can't make the drink because you know, Cheech is only gonna drink water. And then I was in a transvestite bar, and so Cheech and myself and Don were the only straight guys in this whole episode. It's pretty wild, but it was a great experience.
So that is next week, and of course your bar and your tequila called Cabo Wabo, man. Nice to meet you.
Cabo Wabo's everywhere right now, man. Order a Wabo-rita, folks. Go and order a Wabo-rita. Cabo Wabo.
Wabo-rita. Well, hey, nice to meet you. Thanks for getting up with us.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brian.
It very much. All right, we'll be back more mornings on two right after this. These are mine. Stay with us. Thanks, Sammy. All right.
Little White Lies been around for years. Little White Lies ringing in your ears.
It's 8:51. Sammy, who we got tomorrow?
Betty White and my good buddy, Grace Slick.
That's right. Grace Slick, tomorrow morning at 7. Join us. I'll see you tomorrow, too. Say goodbye, Sammy.
Hey, bye. I'll answer the issue.